Get your fill of baseball news and beer reviews at foulballarea.com. Follow our blog for the latest news around the baseball world and read about some of our favorite ballpark beers. Tune into the podcast every Wednesday as we take a deep dive into the topics of the day. Stay connected by signing up for our mailing list or following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at foulballarea. Now, here's today's episode of the Foulball Area Podcast with Matthew Atkins and Trey Lyle. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of the Foulball Area Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Atkins. Thank you all so much for tuning into this week's edition of the podcast. As usual, I'm joined by my co-host, Trey Lyle, coming to us from Kansas via Zoom. Trey, how are you doing this evening, afternoon, morning, whatever time you guys listen to the podcast? How are you doing, Trey?
I'm doing pretty good. We record this on Tuesday afternoon, as always. So, you know, just enjoying my my time here and getting excited for a ramped up. I took a little break from what I didn't watch mini baseball this weekend because there was so many sports on air that I put my focus toward a little basketball and racing, but still a heck of a week in baseball, filled with a lot of news and exciting time of the year is right around the corner. I think the most interesting trade deadline we've had in quite some time.
Should be a very, very interesting trade deadline. I got to watch a little bit of baseball this weekend. I've been spending some time exploring Richmond, exploring my new city. Went to a couple of breweries, went to Three Notched RVA and Star Hill, their rooftop, all while wearing a mask and practicing social distancing, of course.
Good job.
I also found out that when you live with your girlfriend, the sports are very limited. But, you know, we have a trade-off. I watch a little bit of reality TV. She watches a little bit of baseball with me, and it's a good system.
That's why you get a laptop, and you just watch it on there. That's what I've learned.
Could do that, too.
But I've never lived with my, a girlfriend of mine. I've stayed with my girlfriend. Well, I don't have a girlfriend right now, but girlfriends in the past. And so the trade-off happens where I just have to watch it on my laptop.
Yeah. Yeah, but we have a big series this week that I'm going to try to convince her that we should watch on the big TV because it's the Braves and the Yankees taking each other on, and they are in Atlanta this time. The last two-game series that they played a couple weeks ago was at Yankee Stadium in New York, but this time they've got two games here in Atlanta. Trey making a sweeping motion because the last time the Yankees did sweep the Braves, but now we have another two-game series this week beginning tonight, Tuesday night, so by the time you guys listen to this episode, one game will have already been completed. And the other game will be Wednesday night. So it should be a fun, exciting series. And big news, right before we started recording, that Ronald Acuna Jr. and Aaron Judge are both returning to the lineup. So that makes it even more exciting because the Braves have been without Acuna for over a week now. The Yankees have been without Judge for a while. Of course, he was looking like he was AL MVP caliber player. He missed a little bit of time. He's fallen a little bit behind in the home run race. But we'll see if he can return to that form. As he comes back from this injury, I'm really excited to see Ronald Acuna Jr. come back. It should be a really fun series tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah, and interesting, the Yankees, after getting swept by Tampa Bay, obviously the injuries piled up. I mean, they also lost Gleyber Torres, who's now on the DL in that series, and he just seemed to get behind them. And so they weren't able really to have that series to bounce back against the Mets because of COVID. So it's their first series back in basically a week. So we'll see how it happens. But as people reminder, Matt and I had a bet on the season series between the Braves and the Yankees. Loser had to donate $20 to the other person's charity, and the Yankees up 2-0, and it's the four-game series. So the Braves have to get the sweep in order for Matt to win or have a shot at winning, because I think the tiebreaker we said was runs scored.
We'll go with run differential if the teams tie.
So Matt, so before this podcast could air, the bet could already be settled if the Yankees get the win on Tuesday night. But I'm kind of hoping it would come down to that final game just for some intrigue, because we'll see what happens. The Yankees looking to bounce back, and I think Aaron Judge will come back pretty motivated.
And of course, we've got a very good pitching matchup tonight, Tuesday night. Again, by the time you guys listen to this episode on Wednesday,
Garrett Cole.
Tuesday's game will have already been completed. But Garrett Cole versus the rookie Ian Anderson, the Braves' top pitching prospect. They decided to call him up, let him make his first major league start tonight. The Braves' rotation has been underperforming, to say the least, this season. And I think fans have just been clamoring for them to bring up Ian Anderson. It's just like, why not bring him up? The reports that he's doing really well at the alternate training site in Gwinnett. He's having a really good year down there. He's been good in the minor leagues. Why wait? Why not bring him up and try to bolster the rotation this season, try to win something now? And so they're doing that now. They're bringing him up. His first start, he'll go against Garrett Cole at Truist Park in Atlanta. Should be a very fun, exciting game to watch. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to see how Ian Anderson does. We've heard a lot about him, a lot of hype, and so it should be fun to watch. I hope he does well, obviously, because I want the Braves to win, but I'm just excited for this series.
Matt, we were both 22 years old last time Garrett Cole lost a game in the regular season. Granted, we both just turned 23, but it was – let me correct this. We just turned 22 the last time Garrett Cole lost a start in the regular season. So I'm going to feel pretty, pretty confident the Yankees get it done tonight, and you're going to have to pay $20 to the charity of my choice. So I got a couple ideas of charities I want to pick, but we'll find what that out is next week on the show. So, I feel pretty confident now that Garrett Cole is going to get the win tonight.
Well, I'm glad you feel confident. I don't feel as confident. Honestly.
In the words of Charles Barkley, except it's going to work. I guarantee the Yankees get the win tonight. That is honestly maybe my favorite thing in sports right now is Charles Barkley guaranteeing something, and then the other team blows out. For example, he guaranteed the Jazz, the Nuggets beating the Jazz, and they got blown out. He guaranteed the Pacers beating the Heat, the Pacers got blown out. And then last night he guaranteed the Blazers, and the score was like a 30-point game, most of it, it ended as a 20-point lead for the They started on on Mamba Day, which I think is the coolest thing, on a 24-8 run. So I had to throw that in there. But that's how confident I am.
Trey, this is a baseball podcast, right?
I understand, but I'm using context here.
Okay.
And
all right.
Sometimes I don't get to talk about sports much, man, working, with a lot of people here in Kansas. So I have to talk about as much as I can. So.
All right. Well,
also, it was for context, sir. And also, got to give a shout out to Kobe on it. His birthday was Sunday, same day as my little brother Josh, and obviously 8/24 being Mamba Day. So RIP to Kobe Bean Bryant, one of the best figures in all of sports.
Of course. Of course.
He's also an Eagles fan, so I had to throw that
in. Well, yeah, you got to throw that in there. So that's what we're looking forward to this week is the Yankees-Braves series beginning tonight, Tuesday night, and going through Wednesday, a two-game series. They played a two-game series a couple weeks ago in New York. The Yankees swept both of those games. Now the Braves looking for revenge, and Ronald Acuña Jr. back in the lineup, as well as Aaron Judge for the Yankees. So should be an exciting series. Should be a lot of power between those two teams. We'll see how it plays out. Now coming up next week, Monday, August 31st, is the MLB trade deadline, and it's a different trade deadline than usual because we're just a month into the season, and teams have to decide whether or not they want to buy or sell, whereas usually we're 4 or 5 months into the season when they get to this point, and they have a better feeling of what kind of team they are, what kind of season they're having, if they want to compete now or build for the future, and so they have less data, fewer numbers to make this decision off of how they want to approach this trade deadline, and it's going to be very interesting to see how teams approach it, what they end up doing in this year's trade deadline. And so let's go through a couple of the possible moves and what our favorite teams may end up doing by next Monday. For the Braves, obviously they need pitching. As I said a few minutes ago, their rotation is severely underperforming this season. Of course, some of that is due to bad luck. They lost their ace, Mike Soroka, due to a torn Achilles earlier this month. They've also lost Sean Newcomb and Mike Foltynewicz, who just had really bad outings and ended up getting optioned to the alternate training site in Gwinnett. They were good pitchers for the Braves in prior years, but this year they just didn't have the right stuff, and so they got sent down. And so they are without three of the starting pitchers that they had going into the season. They don't have them in the rotation anymore. So what the Braves really need is to bolster the rotation. Their starting pitching ERA is 5.37, which is sixth highest in Major League Baseball. That's not good. And if you want to make a run at the playoffs, win the World Series, you can't have that with your starting rotation. So everyone is pretty much thinking that the Braves are going to try to make a starting pitching move here, MLB.com put out an article with what move each of the 30 teams could make, and they think the Braves will go after Kevin Gausman of the San Francisco Giants. This would be an interesting move. The Braves traded for Gausman around the trade deadline 2 years ago, acquired him from the Orioles, and he ended up being pretty good for them that year. Last year, he wasn't as good. They placed him on waivers. The Reds claimed him. Now he's with the Giants. But the Braves need some starting pitching. He's available, so they might go after him at the trade deadline, and I would support that move.
Yeah, they do. They need arms at this point, especially with the injuries to the rotation, and that's being their weakness because you know they're going to provide the offense. And so, and I've said all along, I think pitching's the most important part of this season. It shows in those series, especially when you're going to have to make up games. You're going to play like 10 games in 8 days. Like, we're going to see those kind of things. And I use that as an example because that's what the Yankees, the Blue Jays, those teams that first, the Marlins first went through that batch of COVID had to deal with. And you're going to see it again. Now the Mets, the Yankees have to make up games. The Cardinals have to make up games. The Reds have to make up games. So you're going to see those kind of schedules where you're playing 6-7 games in a week, even though they're 7-inning doubleheaders, where you're going to need as many arms as possible. So I think you're going to see predominantly pitchers, a lot of pitching, and because I think offensively the teams that are in the upper end are fine with their lineups, like the Braves, the Dodgers, the Yankees. I'll throw the Padres in there, the way they're hitting lately. The Rockies, I mean, the NL West is looking great. The Cubs, the A's, the Indians. I guess the Indians not probably looking for more offense because their pitching staff has been pretty good. But majority of the upper echelon teams you're going to see in the postseason are probably looking more for arms than bats at this point, from what I see and what I've read.
Mark Bowman of MLB.com covers the Braves. He says that Gausman has regained the velocity that he lost last year, and his always effective splitter has helped him record a 31.6% strikeout rate. So I think it would be a good move for the Braves. They need the arms. If Gausman is what's available, you go after him. You don't give too much up, but try to get him. Try to get a veteran starting pitcher and help this team bolster the rotation going into the playoff runs here in September, pennant races, and then into the playoffs. You got to have a capable pitching staff once you get into the postseason. That's what postseason baseball is all about, is the pitching. Now for the Yankees, Trey, I don't know how you feel about this one, but the prediction from MLB.com is that Clint Frazier will be traded away.
It makes sense. They've also targeted Miguel Andujar as another one. I think you look at the outfield for the Yankees, it's so loaded, and they move Andujar to the outfield. I think those are the two names because I think Gio Urshela is your everyday third baseman for the Yankees with his bat. He's a way better with the glove, and Andujar is a young prospect, and the same thing with Clint Frazier. I think with the injuries right now, you might not see him. You might see the Yankees actually hold off the trigger at this point. But if you asked me a week before Kleber went down, I would say, yeah, those are the two names I think are the best trading pieces for the Yankees if they want to add. And I don't even know what the Yankees want to add. Maybe another starting pitcher, I think, is probably where they want to go to replace, obviously, the loss of Severino. And they really haven't found that third, fourth pitcher to kind of in their rotation yet.
I kind of feel bad for Clint Frazier because he was really highly touted when he was a prospect, and when they brought him up, he was, you know, he had high expectations, and he hasn't really lived up to them as much as people thought, but he's playing really well this season, and I think he is a, you know, he deserves a spot on a major league roster somewhere, but the Yankees just have such a crowded outfield that they don't really have a spot for him if all of their regular outfielders are healthy. And so I do feel bad for Clint Frazier because I think that he is a good player. He deserves to be on a major league roster in the outfield somewhere. And so I kind of do hope that they trade him so that he can go to a team that needs him and he can find an everyday starting role and get the playing time that he deserves, because he's just not going to get that with the Yankees. He is a good player, but when you have the outfield that the Yankees have, you're not going to find a way to fit him in there.
Yeah, I think a team like the Kansas City Royals could look for him. The Giants, Boston could. I don't know if Boston won. They don't really have the pitching the Yankees would look for. The Mariners are another team that could be a seller. It'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. Yeah, I think Clint Frazier is a great prospect, and the fact that the Yankees have him on the bench just show the depth as an organization they have, and it's going to be pretty interesting to see how it shakes out, because I have so many questions, because realistically, I guess 4.5 games maybe too big of a gap, but like these, a team might say we still think we can win. We just get the right momentum, because you could argue the Nationals could be sellers right now. They're 4.5 games back of first at this point. Do they look like they're going to bounce back? But what did they do last year? That's exactly what they did. They turned around, and they're the defending champs for a reason. So that's – I don't know what's going to happen with this trade deadline. It's definitely the most questions, because if we had a normal trade deadline, you kind of know who would the sellers be, and you kind of know who's up. Like, I just saw ESPN an article, like, what if San Francisco Giants trade Johnny Cueto? Which could happen.
Yeah, they could.
I think it would be a bad move, and I think if you're the Yankees, you trade Clint Frazier for Johnny Cueto, you get a starter who has postseason experience, and I think that's not a bad move, because you're going to have – I mean, your outfield's set for me the next 5 years with Hicks, Judge, and Stanton. Like, it's set. It's set. That's your starting outfield if you're the New York Yankees, and you're not upset by it because you get two studs, and then Aaron Hicks is shown to be a reliable center fielder with a solid bat, and you add Johnny Cueto to that rotation, well, you're going to have three front-end starters that have shown they can perform well in the postseason in Cole, Tanaka, and Johnny Cueto, and that's pretty good. That's a trade I could see the Yankees making with San Francisco, or maybe with the Royals. The Royals have a bunch of solid arms in their rotation, and they could do it. Obviously, I think if you're a team like Tampa Bay, I would look for maybe, I wouldn't say another arm, but definitely a bat, especially because now you have the lead in the AL East, and I think the next 2 weeks for the Rays are the most important while the Yankees are beat up, to build, to kind of assert themselves as the best team in the AL East, which they could after that great sweep of the Yankees on the road. So if I'm the Rays, I think that would be, I'd put the team as the number one buyer as the Tampa Bay Rays, looking to just add depth, add some bats, add anything they can to make a postseason push.
MLB.com also put out an article of 5 blockbuster trades that could happen at the deadline. So we'll go through a couple of these. The first two just so happen to involve our favorite teams. And so the first trade that they have suggested here, the Kansas City Royals trade left-handed pitcher Danny Duffy and right-handed pitchers Trevor Rosenthal and Josh Staumont to the Yankees for third baseman Miguel Andujar and right-handed pitcher Nick Nelson. What do you think about that one?
I think good trade for both teams. I think, I like it. I think Danny Duffy's shown the ability. And Trevor Rosenthal is a great arm for the Yankees. And I like I said, I see Andujar just – Gio Urshela took over for him, but Danny Duffy's is the best pitcher on the Rays, and so I like it. I would like the move.
The second trade that they have on there is the Orioles would give up right-handed pitcher Alex Cobb to the Braves for right-handed pitcher Huascar Ynoa. I like this one because, you know, for the Braves, the team that's built to win right now, they need a veteran pitcher that knows how to win. Alex Cobb, he's a veteran pitcher. He could help this Braves rotation, whereas Ynoa, he's a really young guy, doesn't have a lot of experience. The Braves don't really need him right now. They need a veteran pitcher that's got lots of experience. So I think they need a guy like Alex Cobb to help to come bolster this rotation, help them make a push at winning the division again, making a pennant run, making a run once they get into the playoffs. I would really like that move if the Braves could get Alex Cobb for Huascar Ynoa. I think that would be a good one. Third trade on here, the Indians trade right-handed pitcher Mike Clevinger to the Angels for outfielders Brandon Marsh and Brian Goodwin. I think if any team could get Mike Clevinger, it would be a good move for them. And that's obviously what the Angels need is pitching. That's what everyone has said for the past, 5 years, that they have the lineup there. They just don't have the pitching. And that's why this offseason when they went after Anthony Rendon, it's like, yeah, congrats, you got another great bat, but where's the pitching? And so if they could get somebody like Mike Clevinger in that rotation, I think that would be a great move for Los Angeles.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as someone who picked the Angels to win the AL West, I think my expectations were a little too big. And so they could be sellers too. So Jeff Passan, one of the best, kind of laid out the sellers, and this would be, I think, I don't know if I'd see the Angels being a buyer right now. I think they're more going to be sellers at this point. Passan laid out 10 teams, basically. Definite sellers would be Pittsburgh, Boston, Kansas City, Seattle, and the Angels. Possible would be Detroit, Baltimore, and Miami. And you could argue Miami, despite the lack of games, is in the playoffs right now, technically. They are, because they're in second. They're second in their division. And then possible seller, San Fran and Texas. I would say San Francisco would be a seller. I saw Kyle Seager. That would probably be the biggest name, I would say, could be gone. A really good third baseman, can definitely play DH, and is having a pretty good year for the Mariners. So that's another name I saw as a big seller. But that's 10 teams. So 10 teams where that could be sellers. And then you could argue – and there's 20 teams that could be buyers because they can all compete. So I think there's just not enough teams really to be buyers this year. So I don't know if we're going to see anything from the trade deadline in general. So I have a question for you, Matt.
All right.
All right. So you are now the general manager of the Atlanta Braves.
Okay. That's good. I'd like that job.
If you could make one deal with one team, what would it be and why?
Can I just, like, give up my entire farm system for Mike Trout?
No, I meant, like, a reasonable trade, but I would do the same deal.
I would have to go over – or I would have to go for pitching. And, you know, if Mike Clevinger is going to be on the trade block from the Indians, I would take him because he's a great pitcher. Obviously, they sent him down to the alternate training site because of the issues with him breaking protocol. But on the field, he is a great pitcher. And if he's going to be available, I would definitely go after him. And so I would give up a couple of top prospects to get Mike Clevinger and bring him into Atlanta because that's what they need, is they need a big arm. And they need someone to come in here and help that rotation. It's not a good rotation. They're sixth worst in the major leagues. So I would definitely go after a big arm. I would go after Clevinger, give up a couple of top prospects for him, bring him into Atlanta, and win this season.
I like the deal. I think that's something the Braves, if you're a Braves fan, you're praying for. And I think that would not be a bad deal if you're a Braves fan. Good job, man. I would hire you.
All right. What would you do if you're the GM of the Yankees?
Trade all my top prospects for Mike Trout. No,
yeah, there you go.
I would go after Clevinger. I think that would be a good arm. I like the Danny Duffy deal, but I would also, I honestly, if I'm the Yankees at this point, I would not want to put myself a hole the Red Sox went in. And so I would look at trying to get rid of Andujar or Clint Frazier, because you can sacrifice a little bit of depth, and then if you get a couple of good pitching prospects, I wouldn't say that's a bad thing. But I also would look at, to me, I think the Yankees need a third starting pitcher, especially with no Luis Severino. And so I think they go after Clevinger, and I'd say if you're the Indians, you need bats, and Miguel Andujar would be a great bat. They probably need an outfielder more, so I'd package Clint Frazier and a prospects for Clevinger. Andujar's been getting work in left field, so he could play in the outfield. So probably either, not both of them, obviously, but Andujar or Frazier for Clevinger plus a prospect, I think would not be a bad deal.
Yeah, there you go. Mike Clevinger, a highly sought-after pitcher at this year's trade deadline. I wonder if we will end up seeing him get traded. It would be a big move if he did. It'd be, a couple weeks ago, it would be a really surprising move if we said Mike Clevinger is getting traded at the deadline. But now with the whole breaking protocol and being optioned to their alternate training site, it wouldn't be that shocking to see him end up getting out of Cleveland. Should be.
All right, I have another thing for you. So something I read, and I don't think this is going to happen. We talked about Tampa Bay being a seller. Tampa Bay is the best farm system in baseball. Their weakest position is catcher, probably in their lineup. Who would you say is the best catcher in baseball?
Best catcher in baseball. Right now, probably JT Realmuto.
How many years left does he have in his deal?
This is the last
year. When is he a free agent?
He'll be a free agent this offseason.
Do you think the Phillies will make the playoffs?
No.
If you are the Tampa Bay Rays, do you call the Philadelphia Phillies and offer some of your best prospects to get JT Realmuto?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you do. I mean, I don't know too much about the Rays farm system. I know their top prospect is Wander Franco, who's like the top prospect in all of Major League Baseball.
They have the best system in baseball.
They have Brendan McKay, they have Brent Honeywell. I'm looking at some of their prospects right now. They do have a lot of top guys. So I don't know how much you give up for Realmuto, but if that is the weakest spot on their team and they need that to make a push at a World Series run, then yeah, I say you call up the Phillies, see what it would take to get Realmuto, and if you're willing to go for it, then do it, because he is the best catcher. And you know, like, I mean, I hadn't even thought about that, but perfect situation. He's in his walk here. The Phillies are not going to make the playoffs. Perfect situation for the Rays to go after a guy like Realmuto.
Granted, the Phillies just got two pitchers to bolster the bullpen, but I still don't. I mean, Bryce Harper has not looked like Bryce Harper in a while. I like how they signed Didi. I think hiring Joe Girardi was a great hire. He's proven to be a phenomenal man. I mean, he won a freaking World Series, so he knows what he's doing. But that was something I read, again, in the Jeff Passan article. He mentioned JT Realmuto, and I just thought to myself, but going back to Clevinger, you can compare to, like, Trevor Bauer. Like, the Indians really didn't want to trade Trevor Bauer, but they kind of looked at it like, we have so many starting pitchers, we got to get rid of them, and might as well get something back for them. And that's what they did, traded to the Reds at the deadline. And I could see a very similar thing happening with Clevinger, where they trade him at the deadline, even though they might win the – they look like they have a good shot at winning the Central this year, at least making the playoffs.
So this should be a very fun trade deadline to watch coming up Monday, August 31st. Not sure what deals are going to happen, but I feel pretty confident that there will be some.
So you do. All right, so, like, the trade deadline's classic for, like, one to two, like, big-ish deals, I'll say, ish. Do you think one of those gets done? Do you think, like basically, like, last year it was obviously Houston acquiring Zach Greinke.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that, like, deal gets done? Because I personally
yeah,
don't.
I don't think so. I think the biggest possible deal that could happen would be if the Phillies decided to trade Realmuto. I mean, I just don't think there are that many big names that are available in the trade market this year. Like you said, last year, Greinke got traded to the Astros. The year before that, it was Machado to the Dodgers. I mean, we had some pretty big names get traded at the deadline the past couple of seasons. I don't see that happening this year because I don't think there are that many big names available to get traded. So I don't think we'll have a big blockbuster deal that everyone's going to be like, whoa, I didn't see that coming, or I can't believe that happened. Or I don't think we have that happening. I think that there will be, you know, a couple of smaller deals, and you know, the Clevinger trade, that would be pretty big if it happened, but he's nowhere near the level of Greinke or Machado. So I don't think there will be a huge blockbuster deal.
I think that could be the biggest deal. And Clevinger could be the trade, especially for, like, the Yankees or a team that needs starting pitching. And I'm only using the Braves, that could put them over the hump, because right now it looks like the Dodgers are the class of Major League Baseball, especially after the Yankees got a beat up with injuries. So it'll be interesting to see. And I buy this idea that teams with this many postseason spots open, you get two in every division and then two wildcard teams. That's eight teams. That's half the league, your respective league.
I think if you're contending for a playoff spot and you know that you're going to, I don't think that the deadline deals are really going to be about making the playoffs. I think it's going to be more about when you're in the playoffs and you need that depth for a postseason series.
I'm just meaning more in terms of buyers. Like, I just don't – there's too many sellers or too many buyers for the sellers that really are available. And I could see teams wanting to stay pat. If I'm the Red Sox, I want to be a buyer a seller, because they need it at this point, it looks like. I think they had faith in their team, but at this point, it looks like they need to be a seller. If I'm Baltimore, I'm selling. If I'm Kansas City, I'm leaning on selling. If I'm Seattle, I'm selling. If I'm San Fran, I'm selling. But that's really about it off the top of my head.
What about Xander Bogaerts? Do you think the Red Sox trade him away?
I've seen
some rumors.
Maybe. Shortstop's a hard position though, like trade. Yeah, I'm thinking, yeah, he plays shortstop. So we'll see, like, what team contending really needs a shortstop? Would you say that would
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know who they trade him to.
New York doesn't, and they won't trade with him probably. Cleveland doesn't. And this is just AL contenders. Cleveland doesn't. Houston doesn't. The Twins, maybe? Maybe the Twins, but I don't see them trading. So that's of kind of the contending teams in that AL. And you go to the NL. Obviously, the Dodgers don't. Then you go to Atlanta. No, they have Dansby Swanson. You go to the Padres. No. They have maybe the best young shortstop in baseball. Let me correct that. The best young shortstop in baseball. Who's going to be the NL MVP? See, shortstop's a weird position where there's actually like sneaky a lot of depth at, but like it's kind of the depth where it's like there's not a lot of high-end shortstops. There's a lot of really, really good shortstops from like that. Like there's like if you want to make two tiers.
All right, so I'm looking forward to the trade deadline coming up next Monday. It should be a fun one to watch. I'll just be on Twitter probably all day refreshing and looking for tweets from Jeff Passan and
Turn on
John
your tweet
Heyman.
notifications for
Yeah.
Jeff Passan.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that. I'm excited for it. It should be fun. That's all we've got for this week's episode of the Foul Ball Area Podcast. Thank you all for tuning in. Make sure to tune in again next week when we go over the moves that actually happen at the trade deadline and give you our thoughts on what goes down this Monday. For Trey Lyle, I'm Matthew Atkins. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Foul Ball Area Podcast. Make sure to leave a review and a rating wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe so you get new episodes as soon as they come out.